You may be seated. I just want to piggyback on Pastor Nate's comments earlier and let you know how excited I am about this opportunity that has come our way through Chad Walker's business and the offer of the truck and truck, trailer, transportation, driver, all the expenses, that's all taken care of as far as getting it down there. The task here is just to fill it. And I am just excited about the opportunity. Now, as Pastor Nate said, we need to do this well if we are going to do that. And what it's going to take is it's going to take a point man, someone who says, I can administrate, I can oversee, I can make sure the job gets done and gets done well. If that's your gift, if that's your area of giftedness, we need you in order to do this. If there isn't anyone in our congregation that's willing or able to do this, then we will have to see if there's some other group that could do that. But I think if there is somebody that could do that, man, what an opportunity we have to show Christ. Amen? And so be thinking about it. Be praying about it. And for one way or another, we're going to be involved. We're taking the offering already. But this is just another tangible way. And Chad and Mindy have done already a lot of legwork on this. Just need someone to spearhead it, get the word out to the community, and figure out all the logistics of that part of it. So I'll be praying about that. And again, not to be redundant, but just to emphasize Pastor Nate's announcement about that. Shifting gears now, a couple who are friends of ours from years ago were newlyweds, and they were traveling together as newlyweds. I believe it was on their honeymoon, actually. And he had asked her to drive while he snoozed. He wanted to take a nap. And the car was a standard shift, and she wasn't real confident in her abilities, but she agreed to do so because, you know, this is her new husband, and, you know, he needed a nap. He had been driving for quite some time. But being a standard shift, as she drove, she did not want to stop or downshift. And so she kept driving, making all right-hand turns, knowing the whole while she was going in the wrong direction. But she didn't want to wake her dearly beloved. So she just kept driving, and she went miles and miles, I mean counties, out of the way. I think that was their first test as a married couple when he woke up. But let's say you're traveling. And let's say you just happen to be traveling from Troy to Anchorage, Alaska. I don't know why I picked that out. I guess because I'm heading there this afternoon. But anyway, you have fallen asleep while your traveling companion has been driving. And you wake up, hey, where are we? You know, and you want to make sure you're on the right road. And so you look for several indicators. Let's say you have a map app. You open that up, try to see where you are at that particular point in time. And then you start looking for landmarks. And I'll tell you what, if you wake up and you open your eyes and you see Niagara Falls or the Liberty Bell or the Capitol Building, someone made a wrong turn and you're going the wrong way. You want to make sure you're on the right road. So you look for road signs. And, for example, are we going 70 east or are we going 70 west or whatever road you choose to take? And if you see a sign for Washington, D.C., 2 miles, then you're in trouble. You've taken a wrong turn somewhere. But once you make the determination that you're on the right road, you're heading the right direction, then you can relax and you can fulfill the task at hand and keep heading on your way to Anchorage. Actually, Anchorage. Now, this morning, I want to give you a road test. I want to give you a road test for you to take. It's a self-test to see whether you're on the right road. In fact, our take-home thought this morning is Jesus gives you the opportunity to choose His way. Jesus gives you the opportunity to choose His way, to make sure you're on the right way in life, that you're going the right direction in life. And the choice is yours. Are you going to choose the right way or are you going to continue to go the wrong way or your own way? Now, this is not a discussion on election I do believe that God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And all that goes with that. So I'm not discounting the work of God when I say you must choose. I believe it is a choice that you must make. I don't know how God works and orchestrates all of that. Someone put it this way, that on the gates entering into heaven, it says, whosoever will may come. And then once you pass through those gates, you look back and it says, chosen from the foundations of the earth. I don't know how it works. That may or may not be helpful to you. But the point is, as we turn to Matthew chapter 7, we're continuing through our study in the Sermon on the Mount. The point is that Jesus invites His listeners to enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. Now, there are many people who are clueless. They're careless. They're unsure. They're cocky. They're reckless. Hey, I got this under control. Hey, I'm good. Hey, no, I don't have to worry about this. But God wants you to be sure. He wants you to be confident of the right way. He wants you to be confident of His way. And so Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, we're coming down to Matthew chapter 7. He's beginning to wrap up His message. Now, He still has a little ways to go, and so do we. It's going to take us a while, to several weeks, to get through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus is starting to wrap things up. And the rest of His message gives some directional signs that appeal to you so that you will choose His way. And these signs help you choose His way and determine whether you're going His way or not. Look at chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We're going to look at some indicators this morning to see whether you're on the right road or not. It's a self-test, a road test, so to speak. And the first indicator is the entrance. Are you taking the right entrance ramp? Verse 13 refers to this as a gate. And it's an invitation. He says, enter through the gate. He is saying, you enter through the gate. It's in the imperative. You must. It demands definite action. It demands a choice on your part. It's as if you come to a fork in the road and you're heading down toward I-70 and it says east or west. Which direction are you going to go? You have to make a choice. Which way are you going to go? You can't look at Jesus, you can't look at the Sermon on the Mount and merely say, oh man, what marvelous concepts and principles. We've been going through Sermon on the Mount better part of this summer, and hopefully you've really grasped a hold of some of these things, but how dare we say, oh, these are marvelous principles, they're wonderful concepts, and then do nothing about it. He's presented all of these things, and He says, now, enter through the narrow gate. It's not just any entrance, it is narrow. The King James says it's straight. The word, the Greek word for it is stenos, from which we get the word stenography, meaning narrow writing. The gate is narrowed by obstacles, kind of like the turnstiles at King's Island. You know, you got to walk through the gate, and they have turnstiles. You know, you walk through, and it has that little, you know, does that. And so you have this narrowness here. Or it might be like when you're going through the, it says a half mile ahead, toll booth. And so you have to start jockeying here and coming down to just these few lanes here. And then once you get into your lane, you don't jump the curb. You got to stay in that lane because they're narrow. It's tight. You can't get more than one vehicle through that. That's the idea that we have here. And the point here is there are some things that narrow the gate of which Jesus speaks. And one of them is repentance. You can't just do your own thing and go your own way. He says, no, you need to repent. You need to repent from doing your own thing in your own way or the world's way or some other way. And you need to enter through Jesus. There's that narrowness. And then as a result of choosing that, there's obedience as a result of getting into that narrow way. Obedience to His standards, His way. Salvation is by grace, not external standards. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift. So if you think doing things your way is the way, no, it's His way, and that's way. It's by grace through faith in Jesus and what He did. The way to enter is not subjective. Jesus is the way, the only way. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. It's truly being narrow-minded here. Because God is the one who made the way narrow. And He points us out. This is not my thinking, my concept here. This is what God says as you're reading it here in His Word. But the broad gate, the broad entrance, has the idea of being spread out. The word broad there, it's like a plateau. It's like, hey, we can take it easy. It's very open. It's inviting. It's easy. The idea is, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Have you heard that before? There are a lot of people who believe that. Hey, it doesn't really matter. That's the broad way of thinking. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you're sincere. You think of some ways of salvation that people have out there. You think of Islam and where, you know, martyrdom through jihad provides eternity with 70 virgins. Hey, wow, you know, that sounds wonderful. That's a broad way. Hey, you know, all you have to do is go to church and get baptized, take communion, you know, get married in the church, or, you know, and you do all those things right, and you should make it. You should. You do good things, and if your good things outweigh your bad, then you should be okay. I mean, you know, look how subjective that is. Or how about this one? Hey, love wins. That's out there now. I mean, it's becoming real prominent in churches. Hey, love wins. Everybody makes it. You know, at some time or another, everybody makes it. You know, how broad a way. And Jesus says, no, enter through the narrow way. The broad gate leads to destruction. So make sure you're taking the right entrance ramp. Here's another indicator, and that is the conditions. Look at the road conditions. There are only two roads. There's no middle of the road. And then the broad road is the way of the ungodly. John MacArthur says the broad road is the easy, attractive, inclusive, indulgent, permissive, self-oriented way of the world. There are few rules, few restrictions, and few requirements. You know, man, it sounds great. Years ago, we had opportunity to go to Germany and the thing that I looked most forward to, driving on the Autobahn. Man, just let her go, you know. And you just didn't have the speed limit restrictions. Just had to keep things under control. And man, wow, it sounds so good until you see a horrible accident from high speed. But that's the broad way. It's inviting. You know, it's wonderful, but it leads to destruction. The narrow road is the way of the godly. It can be hard and demanding. Look at verse 14. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The Greek word here for narrow means to crowd, to afflict, to suffer tribulation and trouble. It means to be constricted, like passing through a gorge. Have any of you heard of whipsledges up in Hinckley, Ohio? Nobody. Hey, great road trip, okay? You know, just a day trip. Drive up to Hinckley, Ohio, and there's this place called Whipsledges. And there's hiking trails and rocks that you can climb on, and the kids can climb all over. It's just a great place to go. And we used to play there when I was a kid all the time with my buddies. And we'd just go through and we'd climb what was called Elephant Rock. It was this big rock that we kind of like this here, you know, and it's just big, huge. And we'd climb up the one side and sit on the top, you know. But there were these gorges that some of them, man, even as a kid, you just had to, you had to squeeze through and bend over and get it. And it's like, man, like, can we get through there? And we just really try, you know. It has the idea of constricting, like passing through that gorge. There were some challenges in that. And so even in the narrow road that Jesus is speaking, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be difficulties. And we might look at that and say, there is no way I can do that. And you're exactly right. You can't without God's help. Without God's help. There, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, trials, difficulties, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You think of Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Yeah, there's going to be some challenges in this life, but at least you have a clear picture of what it is so that you can have that, we'll get to this in a few minutes, eternal life as a blessing of it. And look here, He goes before you. It says in verse 14 at the end, look at verse 14, and only a few find it. That seems to indicate, along with Luke chapter 13. You can jot that down and check me out. But Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24, someone asked Jesus, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And He said to them, make every effort to enter the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will enter and will try to enter and not be able to. Make every effort. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I use Greek helps and so on, but it's fascinating to me on some of these words. So I put a word out here. The word for make every effort is agonizomai. Agonizomai. Make every effort. What's it sound like? Agony. Make every effort. Agonizomai to enter into the narrow door. Now, it's not a reference to work salvation. But what it is a matter of is as you consider choosing the way, am I going to go God's way or am I going to go my way or some other way, the world's way? As you come to this crossroads, even today, you're saying, am I willing to agonizomai? Am I willing to count the cost of what it might take to live for God? Only a few get the clear picture and say, okay, I'm willing. I'm willing. Here's a passage I would like you to turn to. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're looking at verses 18 through 27. If you're taking notes, you can jot that down. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. A certain ruler asked Jesus, Luke 18, 18. A certain ruler asked Him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call Me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. There's an indication that Jesus is in fact God. Okay? And He was acknowledging that. Verse 20, He goes on, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, He said. When Jesus heard this, He said to Him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow Me. When He, the rich young ruler, heard this, He became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And he's not saying that that everybody has to go sell everything they have. He's saying that what he's saying, you have a choice. What's holding you back? He knew this man's heart. He knew as he came to the crossroads, he had to make a choice. And riches were holding him back. Jesus goes on, verse 25. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, remember when I said hyperbole was a form of humor in the Hebrew language? And some people have said, well, there's this little gate called the eye of the needle at going through gates in Jerusalem and so on. I think what Jesus was saying is, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of this little needle and come out the other side than it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were going, oh, man, that's hilarious. Come on, work with me here, you know. And then those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. We can't do it. It's not by all of the stuff that we try to do and all of these other ways, as long as we're sincere. No, I have kept the commandments since I was a child. No, it's only through Jesus that you can be saved. Here's another indicator as to whether you're on the right road or not, and that's the traffic. Who else is on the road? There are two groups. The many who are on the broad road. That's in verse 13 there. That's the pagans and the professed. People who are not living for God, have no desire to live for God, but there are those who say, oh, yeah, I go to church. You know, yeah, I'm good. I go to church every Sunday. Well, maybe not every Sunday, but, you know, I try to do my best. They're the professed, so the pagans and the professed. They're the many who are on the broad road. And then there are the few who are on the narrow road. The few who respond to true salvation. Now, there's no limit as to the number here, but each one, the point here is each one of you must choose as he is preaching, as he is speaking to these people. Each one should choose. You can't choose for your family, for your children. They must choose. You must choose. It's our desire here at FBC to see people get saved, to come to God in salvation through Jesus. And when people get on that road of salvation, we want to see them discipled to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And so we want to be a disciple-making church. Our mission as a ministry is becoming a church of reproducing followers of God, empowered by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, to demonstrate Christ-centered living to the glory of God within the church, the community, and the cultures of the world. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Right? That's our mission. That's what we must be about as a church. Our vision, then, is showing Christ as indispensable to our community. As we live out our mission, we want to show people Christ by the way that we live. Christ-centered living. As you individually show Christ as indispensable to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your classmates. And so you carry that vision beyond here. It's not, oh, we want everybody to come see what we do and how good we do it. No, we want to be out there living the life, showing Christ as indispensable. That's our vision. We haven't arrived in that. I go back to filling this truck. The idea and the thought here is, hey, it would be wonderful if we could show this community, hey, we want you to know that we care for others. Because of the love of God. Our strategy, as you know, is connect, grow, and give back. And so in light of this mission, vision, and strategy, we're launching an effort toward what we're calling intentional discipleship. Pastor Doug, Keith Wiggin, and Lauren Fiorentino have been working diligently on developing a discipleship plan for FBC. Now, I am excited about this. We introduced it just in part last week. I'm going to elaborate a little bit today. We have long needed a plan to take someone from trusting Christ as Savior to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Not saying that anybody arrives, but that's what we're all changing and growing to that end. And so we're launching this intentional discipleship effort, transforming your ID, intentional discipleship, get it? Your ID to be like Christ. Your ID in Christ as a believer, as a disciple of our Lord Jesus. It's our desire to have this intentional process by which we disciple believers to disciple other believers who disciple believers. We can't just go on hoping it just happens, where you come to church Sunday morning, Wednesdays, and go to a Bible study, and voila. We believe we need to be intentional about this. And so you say, okay, how does this happen? Well, under the category of connecting, we have our Discover FBC class. When someone gets saved, or maybe they're asking questions about it, we have Discover FBC. It's a 6 week class to where you can get in, you can learn what salvation and growth and the Bible is all about and how we function as a ministry. And it's being taught for 6 weeks at a time by Pastor Nate at the 9:15. So if you're here today, you say, I want to do that. I haven't been growing, or I need to grow, or I have questions. This is kind of an entrance ramp, so to speak. And it's like to show you what this is all about. Then come at 9:15 when this starts, and then I believe it's going to start, Pastor Nate, on the 24th. Yes, on the 24th, and it will go for 6 weeks at 9:15. Then you come to worship during this, at the 11 o'clock hour. And if you come to the 9:15 service, then Ron Poling is going to be teaching it during the 11 o'clock hour for 6 weeks at a time, spring and fall. So that's the connecting part of it. Discover FBC. The growing aspect is regarding what we're calling the transferable concepts, which will also be taught in the spring and fall by Keith Wiggin. And these are concepts that we want to teach you to learn and then pass on or transfer to others. Again, the whole matter is the idea of growing in Christ, learning what you need to know so that you then can pass it on to others and train them so that they then can pass it on to others as well. They're transferable concepts. That's what we as believers should be all about. And then the next step is to give back. We're offering a care and discipleship training opportunity to learn in-depth discipleship principles using materials from the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. These materials show you how to help others with the issues of life. It's been designed for people who have a passion to see believers equipped to disciple and counsel one another with the Word of God. This is going to be headed up by Pastor Dogg. I'm just so excited. I want to see you grow in Christ to become all that God wants you to be. And here we have this intentional effort to see that happen. So wherever you are, you might say, well, I have the questions. My next step is to get into FBC. I mean, to discover FBC. Maybe you've been through that, or you're familiar with those kinds of things. You say, well, I'm not sure how to disciple others, how to teach others. Maybe it's, I'm not sure what to teach my children. I've been witnessing to a friend. I'm not sure where to go with that. Get in with the transferable concepts. Or maybe it's your passion to really help people with the issues of life. Then talk to Pastor Doug. We have the sign-up sheets back here. And I'm just so excited about this intentional effort so that we're not just hoping discipleship happens. And then you continue to grow through our life groups. Sign up for life groups, through our Bible studies, through seminars, through workshops, and those kinds of things. All of those things still play into our discipleship plan as a church and ministry, and that's all ongoing. To help get people onto the narrow road and to keep them on the narrow road. And that's what we must be about as a church here at FBC. Disciples making disciples who make disciples. Here's another indicator that you're on the right road, and that's the destination. The destination. Listen to this. Both roads offer a good life. Both of them. But only the narrow road actually delivers. Only the narrow road actually leads you there. The broad road leads to destruction. That word means ruin. The word literally means loss, referring to everlasting torment. The Bible does not teach annihilation. There are some who believe that if you die or when you die, it's just over. Everything's just over. Okay, you're just gone. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches an eternal death. Torment. Eternal loss. Separated from God. So though the broad road is inviting, it is literally a dead end. The narrow road, however, leads to life. It leads to eternal life. Yes, there may be some challenges, some constrictions and conflicts on the narrow road in this life, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. And there's eternal life beyond. Eternal life. Forever with God, our Lord Jesus. So though His way may be challenging at times, Jesus wants you to choose His way. Now, don't you appreciate the fact that Jesus gives an accurate picture of what it means to follow Him? I mean, He gives a realistic picture. He doesn't paint it as a bed of roses, you know. He doesn't put on rose-colored glasses and say, hey, you come to Jesus and everything's going to be grand. It's going to be, you know, it is a wonderful life. In spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulties, it has the promise of the life that now is as well as that is to come. And it's true, that's true life, even in the here and now. And it's far greater in Jesus than the way of the world or any other way, which leads to destruction. There are benefits, there are blessings in following His way. So, it's decision time. The choice is yours. Will you repent from the broad way, doing things your own way, going your own way, doing your own things, or will you choose God's way through Jesus Christ? You repent from all of this way of the world, doing your own thing. Say, okay, I'm going to follow the narrow road. I'm going to enter through the narrow gate and be on the narrow road that leads to life eternal. So there may be some here this morning. You say, you know what? I need to do that. I'm not sure of my salvation. I want that salvation in Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity here today. In a little bit, after communion, I have opportunity to, you can come up and talk to me and say, I want to trust Christ. Or we'll have someone take a side, explain things and pray with you about that. Or after the service, you can talk to us as well. There are others, you've already done that. You know you've trusted Christ and you say, well, what's my next steps? Well, I explain. Our ID plan. To take you from being just trusting Christ, or maybe you've trusted Christ even years ago, but you need to continue, you need to grow, and you don't understand all of that, discover FBC, then in the transferable concepts, and then the care and discipleship training. So those are some decisions that you can make. And then also the life groups. I'm going to choose to get involved in a life group and start connecting with other people so that I can continue to grow and have that accountability. Maybe you need to make a commitment to membership at FBC. Say, you know what? I am excited about the plan, and I want to be a part of this church that's going to help me grow to be what I know God wants me to be so that I can then help others. And we invite you to be a part of us. Make that commitment as well here today. Let's pray and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. And we need your help. We need your wisdom in the decisions that are being made, need to be made, even here today. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I believe that in this passage, Jesus is giving an invitation. He is saying, okay, which way are you going to choose? Now, he's going to continue on with this theme, and we'll come back to this in the weeks ahead. But today you have the opportunity to make a choice. Are you going to choose? Are you willing to choose his way? He's made it clear what that's all about. I'm not saying you don't have any questions about that. But are you willing to choose his way? There are some of you who say, I'm on his way. I just need some help on my next steps. And we've talked about that here today. Maybe you need to make some decisions about that today as well. I'd encourage you, just in the quietness of your own heart, to make those decisions. And you're welcome to we encourage you to fill out a communication card and take one from the pew in front of you. You can fill it out on the website or through the YouVersion app. And if it's personal, if it's private, just put for pastors only. But jot down what decision you are making or have made concerning this narrow road or the broad road.